Hey, you.
Yes, you. As communities throughout the Southeast are hunkered down, it's time to complete your 2020 census. Billions of dollars will go to help communities around the country so we can rebuild from the hurricanes and recover from this pandemic one person at a time. If we get counted, we'll get our fair share of relief after natural disasters, quality health care, and a sense of hope as we look to the future. So get counted before the September 30th deadline. Visit my2020census.gov today, paid for by Fair Count.
Hey, you.
Yes, you. As communities throughout the Southeast are hunkered down, it's time to complete your 2020 census. Billions of dollars will go to help communities around the country so we can rebuild from the hurricanes and recover from this pandemic one person at a time. If we get counted, we'll get our fair share of relief after natural disasters, quality health care, and a sense of hope as we look to the future. So get counted before the September 30th deadline. Visit my2020census.gov today, paid for by Fair Count.
That's our boy.
Chris actually from Crossroads, she said I you know, you need him to come. So she actually
harder to turn
worked on that for us.
Would, if you think about that, apply to the use that he came to?
And she's from Psychic Radio, psychiconair.com. And we have Bishop James Long, who we just recently added.
We're going to be having him on. We're going to be having him on our show pretty soon too. I forgot. I think actually maybe this month too. It may be this month, I'm not sure.
Yeah, if I'm still around. I think my contract renewal time. Oh.
But yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead, Lisa.
And we've got our MCs.
It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking. Be in front of the seats for the horathon.
They're very cool people over there. We just, we're going to be broadcasting for those guys too. They're nice enough to rebroadcast Ghostly Con for us. So looking forward to meeting those folks too. It's going to be a heck of a lineup, I have to say, Lisa. You got tons of people coming from all different, you know, all different walks of life when it comes to studying the paranormal too. So I think it'll be a lot of information to take in one day. And I just don't know if you can.
You're listening to one of. Tune in to the Gray Zone Uncensored, where nothing is black and white. Join Michelle DeRoche and Joe Montaldo on selected dates at Expect the Unexpected. Please check the website for upcoming dates.
Hello, this is John DeSalvo, and I want to invite you to our special show on the mafia and organized crime called Wise Guys Incorporated. And we are on every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we are the real deal. We have mafia guests, famous ones that you've heard of, and this will be an exciting show. If you want to learn about the five families and everything about the mafia that you're afraid to ask. So please tune in and we'll make you an offer you can't refuse.
Hi, you've got to listen to ICAR, that's International Community for Alien Research. www.icar1.com. I should know, I'm Irish.
I'm Michelle DeRoche from the Outer Realm. Please listen to Amelia Pisano and I every Wednesday and Thursday nights at 8 to 10 p.m. Central and 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. This is Michelle DeRoche from the Outer Realm, sending you all a little reminder to stop by the United Public Radio Network's YouTube channel and kindly show us some support by subscribing. Thank you.
Welcome to Bigfoot
and the Bunny.
This is a couple's journey into the mysterious,
the unknown,
and the paranormal. I'm your host, Chris Carr.
And I'm your host, Kristen Johnson.
Together, we are Bigfoot and the Bunny.
You're live.
Welcome to Bigfoot and the Bunny. Hello, parapeeps of all varieties, shapes, and sizes, high-flying ufologists, and psychic psychos. I'm Chris Carr. How are you doing? Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. I'm Kristen Johnson. Hope everybody is well and staying safe from fires and flooding.
Hurricanes and...
Yes.
Yeah. It's like everybody is like affected by like crazy natural disasters. So right now on this call, we have our guest who is Wendy Stanton Phillips, who we're going to introduce in just a minute, who has just had to be evacuated and was able to return home recently due to forest fires in Oregon. Last week, we weren't on the air because there was no electricity due to Hurricane Sally hitting parts of New Orleans and Alabama and all of that. It's crazy. We were just saying we got to get these guys together. Like Chris and I are lucky. We're up in New England. So like we're kind of unaffected by anything until the snow comes. Ugh. Then it's all over.
But that I can handle something. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that any day to like something being on fire or underwater. So actually we consider ourselves like super lucky.
Absolutely.
And speaking of that, last week we had our we had our guest on and we did record the interview. We had June Lundgren on, which is a funny way of scheduling because we're going to hear more about June and Wendy in just a little bit. And that interview is available out there. If you search for Bigfoot and the Bunny on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, you'll find links. And we're going to have it up here on the United Public Radio Network as well. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to hear that and download it wherever you get podcasts. And we just recommend that you guys go out there and especially find us on YouTube. United Public Radio, there's a join button there, and you can get all kinds of bonuses. So, you know, hit the button, smash the button.
Smash the button.
No, they say smash.
Yes.
No, smash it.
Smash that button.
Smash it. How you doing tonight, Chris?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for asking.
You look good. It's nice to see you. We got some new internets going on and connecting.
Yes, better. We do here.
Sounds like a whole lot better.
I get to use my new big boy computer. I'm loving this that Christopher got me for my birthday.
It's a big boy. Where's the long pants?
Where's the...
What? The people, what are these people talking about?
Right.
But... We are here. We are live, coming at you out of New Orleans, even though we're in New England, and we're bringing somebody from Oregon. Can you tell us a little about her?
Yes, we have Wendy Stanton Phillips, and she is a paranormal investigator for the team Ghosts and Girls. It was featured on, featured on season 16. Episode 13 of Ghost Adventures, and is a sensitive empath. Welcome, Wendy.
Well, thank you for having me.
Welcome to our show.
Thank you for being on.
And I know you are trying your best to make this happen. You're driving in your car.
Yes.
Those of you who are watching this on YouTube, which again, if you're listening, you can go to YouTube and look for United Public Radio and click the live stream and see us. And you can see part of Wendy.
Which part?
you might want to go up just a little bit.
My God, you're solving it.
There you go.
That's great.
There you go.
I have a tired arm by the time we're done, but I don't want to be driving and holding a phone.
No.
Planes, trains, and planes, trains?
Automobiles.
Automobiles.
There you go.
You know, we take guests any way we can get them. We were actually hoping to get someone like unidentified flying objects. That'd be our ultimate guest.
We'll go like this.
We're working on it.
Unidentified flying objects now. Nor in that case.
Oh, we talk about all kinds of things here. There are no limits to Bigfoot.
No.
Uh-oh. Last week, we had a friend and fellow investigator of yours on our show, June Lundgren. We had a great show, but we had to release the interview during a week because the station had lost power due to Hurricane Sally, which I mentioned. So we released that on our own. I think Wendy's trying to call us back.
Yeah, we lost.
Maybe we can just add her. Sorry.
It's okay. Things happen all the time.
That's all right. That's all right. But you guys do want to check out our show with June Lundgren, and these guys are friends. So hang on. And
June and Wendy are both friends, and they run a paranormal investigating team, Ghosts and Girls.
That's right. And they've worked on several investigations. There she is. Hey, we lost you. We'll call you back if we lose you for whatever reason, okay? So we can add you to the group convo.
Make it more easier for you while you're driving.
I know that's not easy. We expect you to juggle as well. Do you have anything you can juggle over there? Spoons or something? We were just talking about our interview with June last week, and we know you guys are on a team together and had a podcast, and the team is called Ghosts and Girls. And, yep. She was great. It was wonderful having her on, and I was just wondering how you guys met and how that came about.
Well, 5.5 years ago on Facebook, I had something pop onto my screen, whatever it was, that said the Oregon Ghost Conference. Never heard of it. And I'm like, well, that's awesome. So I said to my daughter, I said, hey, would you mind going? And she has not missed one yet. She has gone with me every year. So we went, and June was part of the panel, and we just kind of started talking and hit it off, and she's been a mentor and just a sister to me, and I love her to pieces. She's so talented, she's so kind, and, you know, I can't say enough good things about her.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, she was awesome. We had a good time talking about it, and we liked how she calls herself a demon seer, which was a term I hadn't heard before and was really cool. And we got into all of that and demon removal.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting being around her when something is coming on, whether we're about to go deal with something negative or what have you. She gets this unique little white light in her eyes. And it's just, a crazy thing to see, you know, you have to see it to almost believe it, but it's like, no, not time yet. Nope, put that back. Stop. You know, so we'll joke about that. It's just really amazing to get to do this with her. And as Chris and I spoke last night, she has so many years in this field that I defer to her, because though I've had my abilities, I have not been doing as I have done for the last few years. She's done this so long, you know, so it's like, I'm just kind of her backup girl, you know, I got her back, and I will do all I can to protect her and take care of her in any way that I can.
Well, we got into some crazy stuff, and that was a lot of fun. But you work with another paranormal team as well, right? Besides Ghosts and Girls, is that correct?
Yes. I started out with Northwest Paranormal, and we're kind of, because of all the COVID stuff, kind of gone on hiatus. But we have a fun group called, come on, Brain, Supernatural Investigative Unit. And my beautiful daughter, Heather, is part of it. And it's an awesome, neat group. We have fun. But when we need to, we also can be very serious because some unique things have occurred. You know, so I just went out with them a couple of weeks ago to a bridge that has had some activity because people have to remove themselves from the living there. So that was kind of neat.
It sounds like,
you know what I mean? Not neat that right. they have done, but it was neat to be there and to kind of channel in on what I was feeling. So that was really a cool evening to get to do that with them. And our favorite thing is getting to do it on a full moon on Friday the 13th.
There you go.
Yes. So we are doing something in Southern Oregon on Friday, November 13th, and I believe it's a full moon. I can't remember.
That's great.
So.
We love those full moons on the Friday the 13th.
They are busy. I will tell you, those moons, yep, it's really busy and fun to do it then.
Mm-hmm. You went on an investigation with them at what's known as the Montgomery House in, I think I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Kalama, Washington?
Kalama, Washington.
I knew I was going to butcher that.
Kalama, like calamity.
Like calamity, exactly. Very Can similar. You, yep, could you please tell us a little about the history of the house and the results of that investigation?
Well, we have not gotten to get back up there to learn more about it. The plan had been, after we had all been there, to go back several times because this wonderful couple hosts some things there in town, and so for Halloween we were supposed to do some investigations while COVID hit, so we didn't get to go back and do more research because some of the things we ran into, we need to do more research. But we do know that, you know, Native Americans were in that area. We have a very high concentration of them out here. You know, like any place, pretty much, you know, you have your Native Americans and Hispanics and such in this area. But we had a good time up in the attic. There's two gentlemen that are on our team, and they went down into the basement, which is a very unique place. It has a natural running spring in it.
Ooh.
Yeah. It comes out. It goes in. Who knows where it goes?
Right.
So they were downstairs, and there were five of us, including my daughter and I. And we got on the topic of serial killers. Because one of the couples that had gone to the dumping grounds of, who was it? Dumping grounds for, was it the dumping grounds for Ted Bundy? Was that? Well, we were discussing mm-hmm. those different things, and you know, you make your potential plans. Hey, you know, we should go back there, and all of a sudden, the door for the attic, which is at the bottom of the stairs, opened up, and my daughter is standing there, and here come footsteps, but no person. Mm. And so Heather's standing there looking down the stairs, and one of the other gals is looking over the railing, and it's like, who's there? You know?
Right.
Hello? Who is it? You know, we could just stare. Stomp upstairs, and a few minutes later, the guys came back up. Nobody's been there, and we got to talking about it, decided let's wrap it all up because it's still somebody's home. You don't want to stay there too late. So we went downstairs and thanked them and discussed what we encountered, including that. And we told them, you know, we've been discussing the serial killers. We've been discussing everybody. He told us, hold on, wait right there. He leaves the room, and I'm looking at my daughter. She's looking at me. We're looking at one of the other people like, what the heck is going on? And he brings back a yearbook. and he looks in the back and he's looking for it all ever, opens it up, he goes, "This is my mom and her twin sister." Okay, that's really cool. Well, here's their classmate that they graduated with, Ted Bundy.
No.
Yeah, this is wild. Yeah. Ted Bundy.
Wow.
Maybe he is tied into this in some way. You know, we have our friend Nathaniel Gillis is a demonologist, and he often talks about serial killers and demons in the same breath, and talks about the victimology and how that it plays a role, like in the way people are treated from certain demonic events as they were treated by demons or demonic events. So yeah. To hear that about Ted Bundy, I'm like, wow. Mm.
It was crazy. We were all quite surprised. And if I recall right, they said something along the lines of, we were the first ones that had, you know, tuned into this. And all of a sudden in my ear, I hear this creepy, "I wanted those twins."
Oh, wow.
That is so disturbing.
Yeah, very disturbing.
It was very disturbing, and I'm like, you know what? He, you know, wanted these young ladies, you know, and the husband's like, you know, this is my mom and my aunt, you know. You look at him as your mom and your aunt.
Right.
Why is somebody going to want my mom and my aunt, you know? So we wound that up, and we decided we need to go back some more. We need to do some more studying. And then all the stuff hit. We haven't been able to go back. Such a lovely couple, a really neat house, just a beautiful little town, you know. So it was quite fun because Heather was standing there at the top of the stairs, like, who is it, you know? But all you could hear is stomp, stomp, stomp. And as soon as males came around, gone.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting. And that, I think on YouTube, that's Supernatural Productions, I think is what they call those, at least on YouTube, because I was able to look up some of those videos. And I do see one, the Haunted Montgomery House, Calamity, Washington.
Right.
It's a calamity. You want to be careful there. you were also featured on a Ghost Adventures episode, Graveyards of the Pacific, which surrounds the oldest lighthouse on the Pacific coast at Cape Disappointment, which is an unusual name, right? It's called Cape Disappointment. And it was a sort of disappointment for those trying to sail by it. As many people, countless boating accidents occurred there, and many people washed up on shore, among other things. Mostly the legends surround the original lighthouse keeper, Alexander K. Pessinen, and I might not be saying that correctly, and his wife, Mary, he was driven crazy by the seclusion and constant howling of the wind. In 1923, Mary jumped from the high cliff of the lighthouse and died when she landed on the rocks below. It is said that she haunts the old lighthouse to this day. You appeared shook up by what you felt inside there in that episode, and I did watch it. We watched it. You felt something. Do you think it was Mary that you felt?
Both of them made appearances, so to speak. The hard part was the fact that, bless his heart, he lived with finger pointing and, you know, he him and all these things. And what I saw was not the legend. What I saw was this poor woman. The winds up there are horrendous. A friend and I went back just before our fires a couple weeks ago. Very windy day. And back then, she's out there walking, and I saw her just go over because of the wind. Over she went. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I looked at the producer with me, and I'm like, she didn't jump. The wind blew her over.
Oh, wow.
So that's what you felt, that she was actually, it was an accident.
It was totally an accident. And they even show that at the end of the show. You know, I can't remember now if it what it was, but it said accident. But they didn't explain to you what kind of an accident.
Right.
You know? But yeah, I saw her go over and I'm like, oh no, you know, you can't do anything about it, but still it gets to you.
Yes.
And he was frustrated from all these years of he did it, you did it, he was done. He didn't want to be there anymore. But, you know, I'm standing there with these people who have a job that they're doing. They have invited me to be part of this. And though I wanted to help him go at that, right at that minute, I couldn't. You know, right. Because then I'd be letting them down, and it's like you sit there silently trying to explain this to them. And he was not happy with me for not letting him go. You know, it's not like I held him there or anything, but I didn't help him at that point. So.
And you're talking about Alexander when you say this.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. He was not a mean person. He was just a frustrated, angry, sick and tired of it. He didn't want to be there anymore. He loved the White House, but he disliked the rest of the stuff. He didn't like people pointing the fingers. He didn't like hearing the story of, you know, basically because of him, she's dead. You know, that would be a hard thing if you're in spirit thinking you're stuck there to hear day in and day out.
Right, that's understandable.
Sure, and they were so reclusive. Anyways, the lifestyle... And they actually talked about that lifestyle, right, Kristen? In that movie we watched, The Lighthouse. You know, it's just so reclusive. And you just, you know, you're almost half crazy because you don't see another human being.
That's right.
You know, other than the people you're there with for years, pretty much.
Yeah. They didn't have TVs and satellites. Jump in your little car and go. You don't have to be there. You're stuck. Well, you know, so yeah, that would get to you, but it didn't get to her in that manner.
I gotcha.
Because
that's...
she loved it very much. Yeah, you know, so that was pretty, that shook me up. And, you know, walking into the lighthouse, the EMFs were so high. That's why man, I can't believe they left it in there, me sitting down, because I just was not feeling good at all. It's like, okay, I'm just going to sit down for a minute here because the EMF were just crazy. Between the big junction box panel that runs the lighthouse,
right.
And you know, and it didn't get better when we went up the stairs. I'm like, okay, it's going to get better getting away from this. And it didn't, because he's wanting somebody to listen to him, you know.
Yeah.
And but what a neat view and what a spectacular thing I got to do, you know.
Absolutely.
I have wonderful memories of it, and I would work with them again because they were really awesome people.
I was just going to ask you that. What was it like working with Zach and the gang?
They were very, very, very professional. They know their stuff. They, you know, it's an art to them to make sure that they have the cameras where they need to be, and just, they were on it, and Zach was kindness unto itself to me. He really was very kind. I'd had a loss 2 days before that, and I just took her with me and said, okay, come on, we're going to go, because this is something you would have loved to have done, but you know, they were very protective, and I had no problems with them. I really didn't. And, you know, when we left the lighthouse, the home, the cameras were off, and poor Alexander was frustrated and pushed Zach and I both out the door. Which is not caught on camera. And he stopped me from falling. He wanted to make sure I was okay. And he's like, what the heck is going on here? And I just said, he's frustrated, you know. and they pick up some of that, and then they send Aaron into the house. And I was giggling because the look on his face, what you see on TV is Aaron. Truly, the big old eyes, and I'm standing there, I'm like, dude, daylight, you have a cameraman. You're going to be okay.
Well, that's great to hear, because a lot of people, you know, like we talked about, tend to you know, give negative comments toward Ghost Adventures because of Zach's provocation and different things. But, you know, people don't realize that he doesn't do this in private residences, which, of course, would be a horrible thing. And I've actually been privy to being on an investigation where somebody, you know, started with the yelling and all that. And it is a horrifying thing. And I am against that. But these are like, you know, places that have known issues. And I think the influence of the show is deeper than a lot of people want to admit. Okay. I you know, I'm not just trying to give them props, but I often hear,
let's go.
Days are filled with adventure, and Go-Go Squeeze is there for every run, jump, step of the way. Made from wholesome ingredients like 100% fruit and veggies, real yogurt, and no artificial anything. In Go Anywhere pouches, so our kids can keep going wherever their adventures take them. Go-Go Squeeze, you make the memories, we'll make the snacks. Find us in the applesauce aisle.
Let's go!
En Boost Mobile, creemos en el poder de hacer que tu voz se oiga. Queremos que cada estadounidense elegible dé un paso adelante y se registre para votar. En solo segundos puedes dar un gran paso para que haga la diferencia en tu comunidad. Descubre por qué tu voto es importante y regístrate en boostmobile.com/stepouttovote.com. Aprende por qué tu voto es importante y regístrate para votar en tu tienda Boost Mobile más cercana o visita boostmobile.com/stepouttovote.
People bagging on them, and I think it's good to hear that you had a good experience and they're very professional.
Definitely. And I even told Zach in the beginning, you know, at the end of it, I said, you know, I asked if we could take a picture because my daughter had gotten me watching the show. And at first I'm like, oh, you know, because it's a provocation. I'm like, come on, Heather, I don't want to watch this. She's like, come on, you're going to like it. Whatever she'd said. And then they went to Gettysburg, which is close to my heart. I absolutely love that town. Yes. And I'm like, oh, they better not be messing around. I will never watch them again. But they were, you know, wonderful. So I was like, I continued watching. And, you know, there's still things you can pull out of it. And he is a sensitive. He does feel these different things. But his brain is also so busy trying to process, okay, you know, we have this film, we have this timeline, we have a time frame, a place to, you know, so there's a lot going on for all of them.
Oh, sure. And of course, the show wants to appeal to more than just the paranormal community. They're trying to bring in new people, and there's a real art to that, which I am sure is not easy. We certainly haven't mastered it yet, but that particular episode began with an H.P. Lovecraft quote, which I love. Ocean is more ancient than the mountains and freighted with the memories and the dreams of time. And I love that. And I was like, so cool. All right. That's awesome. They quoted H.P. Lovecraft. You know, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So.
Exactly.
I like that.
So, yeah, it was a good thing. And if I was to get another call, I'd go do it again. You know, I was able to really, really open up and do what I needed to do. I didn't know for sure. I was very clear with them. You know, when I got the call from Jeff Belanger the Friday evening, if you guys want bacon or come up with something, I'm not driving 4.5 hours to do that. We believe in being ethical. If we don't feel it, we don't feel it. If we do, we do. And he's like, no, we've had enough of that. We don't want that. And so that made me feel better. But the things that I pulled in and the things that I saw really did surprise me. I was not expecting them. I did not know the history. And we go in cold.
Right.
I didn't want to know, so I didn't look. I, you know, I told anybody, nope, nope. Don't tell me. I don't want to know anything. So it was interesting after the fact, Jeff Davis, who the beginning of the episode, wonderful historian, just very kind, special, wonderful friend. We had a conversation after the fact. I did a podcast with him, and he kind of filled me in on different things, plus some of the stuff they showed on the show. I'm like, wow, you know, I didn't know that, you know, and I guess I zeroed in on this or that, but the thing that I'm kind of disappointed in, I'm sorry, baby, they showed people crawling rocks, but did not explain why. Well, when I was standing there looking down into what is Dead Man's Cove, and I did not know this, I suddenly saw people crawling on rocks in the water and trying to get up and out. And I told the producer, he's like, what are you seeing? Because horrible. Seeing this, these people trying to get out of there. And I had no clue until later. And ships down there and how people, and I was like, what? That was a representation of what I had seen, the people crawling out. So mm-hmm. We filmed for probably 5 hours, and you know, it's a 42 minute slot. You can't fit 5 hours in there, plus however long there was left, and so on and so forth, you know. So there's a lot in there that I'm pretty sure other people, myself, you know, may have said that explained something, but overall, I think they did the best that they could with what all they had.
So are you saying the segment on Dead Man's Cove was, they were talking about a shipwreck where the dead bodies of the sailors were washing up on shore and on the rocks because it's a rocky coastline in this desolate area. And so are you saying, because we broke up a little bit, is it that you saw something different than what they showed? And when you say saw, was that like a clairvoyant type thing?
Well, she broke up again.
yeah. Traveling to the zone.
I'm breaking up.
There you are.
I'm not in the greatest area. I was going to warn you. But not all of them, just some of them cried. You know, I didn't know it was Dead Man's Cove, and that was a little disconcerting. When I went back a couple weeks ago, it was very peaceful, and I was very happy about that. It felt good, because I got to go back and keep my promise to Alexander and send him to be with Mary, and it was really beautiful. I never get to see it, and I got to see a quick flash of them hugging, and it was so cool. Yeah. I was glad my daughter was there, because I started crying like a big old baby.
I was just going to ask you that, as I probably would have started crying too.
I usually do when I am blessed to get to cross people. Mm-hmm. Even if I don't have any sort of a relationship, there's just something emotional about it. I get with a friend in our Pioneer Cemeteries for like 2.5 hours. And he's like, wow, I cannot even believe this. You can literally, where they were going, you didn't see them, but you saw. It was just incredible. That's one of those things you have no answers for. There it is, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I told him, you can go back. That's your...
We seem to be losing you again. So she was talking about crossing spirits there, and mm-hmm. and Alex and Mary, which are the kind of the most known legends of that particular lighthouse.
Yeah,
and it's spooky, like the living in the lighthouse, like what that must be like, you know.
Absolutely. Just really, being there. Yeah.
You know, you think, you know, we can get on each other's nerves. Like,
right. Can you imagine like, living there, though? I mean,
like, oh my God, day in, day out, year after year, and there's nothing else to distract.
I was just going to say, it was 1923, correct?
You know, there's no distractions at all. Right. Yeah, 1923, I think it's
so you got to figure there's.
Or got blown off the
clock. Right. No TV. No, nothing. No internet, like, you know, everybody has. And can you imagine? Just what do you do day after day after day? You know, you got to keep yourself busy or you're going to go cuckoo bananas.
Like hopefully the fishing's pretty good, you know?
Yeah, well, there you go, Chris.
Right. So I don't know. Did we lose Wendy?
No, texting, no cell phone. I'm here.
Oh, there she is.
I'm here. Now you see me, now you don't. We're almost through the area. So
I was going to ask you about crossing spirits when maybe she gets back or out of the area, I should say. I'm going to ask you a question. I hopefully you can hear it. When did you feel that you could start crossing spirits? How did you come to that? Did you know on your own? Did you take a class? What started you, how you started crossing spirits? That's my question.
I really lucky because my parents supported me, even though they didn't understand it, they really supported me. Later, when I knew my grandma had passed away before, you know, I was in the middle of nowhere, and I knew she was gone. And then we lost my dad, just different things. And then the first one I really crossed was our middle son's best friend, who was a security guard and had been shot.
Oh, dear.
And that just... that was heartbreaking to me. Actually, that was the second one. I take that back. The first one wasn't as difficult because he knew his time was coming and he had some regrets. And I'm like, you know, you have to make peace and be ready for later when she comes to be with you. That one was easy, but when we had to say goodbye to Lucas, I had to get a hold of June and Fred because my mom, why? I had no answers. I didn't know why would somebody do this to this young man? And so with help, we got him crossed. And he still comes back. He likes to go on road trips with us. I actually carry part of him with me all the time because if I don't, he's going to play tricks on me. So he's right here with us.
Oh, wow.
Otherwise, he will spray soda all over us. He's just not nice. But that was 4 years ago. And, you know, he's come back when my son was having a really difficult time. And he just told me it has to be this way because he laid things out. And I was able to give my son that message, which I think helped him. So it's a fairly new thing for me in the grand scheme of it. You know, whereas June's done it forever in a day, to me, it's a new thing. But it makes me feel good to know I can help somebody.
Absolutely.
You had a good story. And I think you had mentioned to me that you had your children and your grandchildren had seemingly inherited your gift. And you told me something about your granddaughter, Aurora. That was a cool story.
Pretty name.
All four of the kids, we have three boys and a girl, and all three of them have different levels. and different types, you know, just like anything. The middle boy, Christopher, is just full bore, holy camoly, wow. And his daughter has taken after him. When she was 2.5, I went and picked her up to have her for the weekend. And she was sitting behind me. And she says, Nana, your bunny's dead. Because I'd had a pygmy miniature bunny rabbit. But he turned out not to be a pygmy or a mini. He was too big for his cage. So we gave him to a friend. And I said, no, Rory, Papa and I gave him, you know, to Bobby because he was too big for his cage. And she's sitting in the back seat going, no, Nana, your bunny's dead. And I'm like, okay, baby. And so we got home and my husband looks at me and goes, honey, I don't know how to tell you this, but Houdini's dead.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like she knew.
I hear this tap, tap, tap behind me. I turn around. There's Aurora with her little arms crossed, tapping the floor. And she says, I told you, Nana. I told you your butt's dead, but you wouldn't believe me.
I love that. And I love that the bunny's name was Houdini.
Yeah, I was going to mention that as
That's
well.
That's cute.
It was so cute, you know. But at the same time, my husband's looking at me like, excuse me, wait, what? And
I'm right.
Like, yeah. Called me. She's sitting in the back seat. She's like holding her hands up going, I told her. You know, so that was
so then you knew.
Cool. Yeah. But I'd known beforehand because she'd tell me different things. And she was just uncomfortable in certain areas. You know, so she would want to be with Auntie. She felt safe with Aunt Heather. And, you know, because of her abilities. Which somehow this girl has, you know, been able to use them and yet protect herself from them, turn them off, so to speak, at different times. Sure. And I'm like, do it. And she's like, I don't know. I just, you know. So Aurora, last I knew, was still, but she'll try to pull the wool over your eyes like any little kid. She's 7 now. Oh, Nana, I saw, and you can see in her eyes. It's like, uh-huh, want to try again? We know you're the fifth. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. We enjoyed it, and, you know, the kids are doing their best to support her in her growth. Mama doesn't, to her knowledge, have a whole lot of abilities. But she's still, you know, open to making sure that Aurora knows this is okay. This is, there's nothing wrong with it. A lot of people are like this. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm glad because a lot of parents push it away and say, oh, you know, whatever. You're being, you know, you're lying or, you know, they just don't want to hear anything about it at all, you know.
My dad visited my kids so much when they were little. He would come and visit him at nap time. And I remember Heather giggling in her crib, and I stuck my head in there, and I'm like, Daddy, I know you don't understand time, but she needs to take a nap. So could we just chill it out a little bit, you know? And so he just quietly disappear, you know. I'm pretty sure they were all mad at me because they enjoyed playing with their great-grandpa.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so...
What is an exorcism to you, and what kind of experiences have you had with them?
We did one several years ago, and it leaves an impression on you. You can never put words to, really. It's heartbreaking when you see somebody who has suffered. This person suffered for 5 years with this situation. Just went through the rigmarole, went to the doctors, you name it, and called June, our friend Aaron, who is an ordained minister, and I in, and It was about a four-hour ordeal, and I do mean ordeal because you could see this thing coming and going off of her. And, you know, at what? I stepped back. Aaron said he saw me step back and look over, and here comes this big black form. See a face. Big, big. You know, it's like there was no walls, no roof. Here's this big black thing, and you knew who it was. And then I moved over a minute later, and here's this hand that comes out, this beautiful hand, and this light. And as Aaron put it, he wanted to take that hand. You know, we knew who that was. And he was a last chance. It didn't take it because it is, as June puts it, lived in lies for so long. Mm-hmm. It, you know, you go home afterwards, you pray over and with each other. I was very glad when I went home, my family wasn't there because I sat there and cried for a solid hour.
I believe
it's hard to process. Yeah, it's hard to process. And then you just keep praying for this poor person. And at 3 a.m, all three, June, Aaron, and I woke up because it had been removed. It had been yanked. And last we knew, she was doing okay.
And was that like a Catholic style exorcism, or was that something else?
It was pretty much something else. We read from the Bible. You know, we did everything in our power that we could because none of us are Catholic, you know. So it just is one of those things. I never would have thought I'd be involved in something like that.
Right.
And you can't think about it. You can't sit there and go, oh, wow, oh, my gosh, what I just saw. You have to fully concentrate on what you're doing because the slightest slip, and this person is at risk already. And you don't want to be the one to slip and think you did something to bring more harm or harm to your team. You know,
right.
You think about it here. That's what June always says. You have to go in fully armed and confident in what you're doing, or it's not going to work.
Right. And you wouldn't want to just piss it off either.
No. You know, we didn't. It got taken care of. It'll be 3 years next month, if I recall right. You know, but the first time I removed something like that was in my oldest son, who was 3. And Eric had, back then, big, ginormous blue eyes, the world's biggest cheek dimples, and black and blonde hair. Just this little, adorable little guy. And I walked into his room, and he's staring at his bed. And I'm like, what are you doing, baby? And he looks up at me, and it's black eyes.
Wow.
Pure black eyes in my little sweet boy's face. And I knew what it was. And this is back in 1993, the beginning of 93. I was not involved in any of this. And my mother had raised me strong in faith. And I took his little arms and I'm like, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be gone. This child belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he looks at me and his little eyes were clear and blue. And he goes, why are you shaking me, Mommy?
Wow. He
had no clue. And all I could do is just hold on to him as tight as I could and love him. And I sent him to his grandma, who is the one that I lost 2 years ago. Well, we dealt with the individual that was a roommate that caused the problem. And then I couldn't understand why were my two little boys coming into the bedroom saying, Mommy, the devil is doing this at night, saying that. It's like, wait, you guys are, you know, a year and a half and three. What? Tell them you belong to Jesus and, you know, thinking they're having bad dreams. And I'm like, this is not stopping. What's going on? Went to a minister who believed in these things. He was a non-denominational, and he said, do you happen to have anything that belongs to this person? I almost fell over. My two little boys were sleeping on what had been her waterbed.
Wow.
I had never seen a waterbed come down so fast in my life.
It's so disturbing that it was your children. I mean, that's horrifying.
Yes, and I didn't realize it at that point in time. And I would like to think that I've come far enough that I would realize it and see it now. You know, back in 2016, I was doing dishes one day, and a knife, a big silver knife, was pulled out of my hand, turned directions, and went across the back of my hand.
Oh my
goodness. Knew what it was. Yeah, it was a negative that had been bugging us. It wasn't like so strong that, you know, the house was moving or anything. But it made me mad. You know, and I called June, and I'm like, here's what happened. I am so mad. She's like, that's my girl. You know, don't be scared. You can't be scared. Be mad. So she came over the next day, and we dealt with it.
Now, you said it came from your roommate. Did they bring it with them, like an attachment, or did they create it in your house? How did this go?
This roommate back then was practicing the dark arts, and I didn't know it. For some reason, she was jealous of me because I had a good relationship with her fiance, who was my brother-in-law. But he could have been my little brother, you know? I mean, and
right. So
all we can figure is, as the pastor put it, you know, she did whatever she did, and it bounced off of me because my faith was strong enough, and it hit Eric, who is a little tiny guy, doesn't get this stuff.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
sorry.
Never had that problem with any of the rest of them. Thank you, God. You know, tried to protect them, and each of them, you know, protects themselves in their own way. So Christopher is the one that seems to still struggle because he is so vivid. Things will get to him very easily.
Do you think maybe that, you know, being aware of them acts as a sort of magnet? So if you have these sort of intuitive abilities, awareness of spirit, that once they know you're aware of them, they're drawn to you more so.
Yes, definitely. That's one of the things, like when June and I will go places to help a family, you know, if you see like a shadow figure or something, do not say, oh, look, because then it's going to realize, you know, it's there and the game's off. Yeah, it happens. So I've tried to tell him. He goes, but Mom, it gets me when I'm asleep. Well, that's when your brain's most open. I said, you've got to draw the line. I'm going to bed. Do not be fine. And I used to say, okay, stop waking up. Drop me down. Tell me. Have a whole thing to tell you, not just that I'm waking you up because it helps me nothing. Don't wake me up.
right. We've only got about 2 minutes left. I wanted to say, well, a show is called Bigfoot and the Bunny. I clearly have bigger feet than Kristen's little sexy feet. No, I'm not generally considered a cryptid unless I've had way too much to drink. I've never seen him in person myself, but you have a Bigfoot story. Can you tell us about that real quick?
Really quick. I will try. August 1982, the watershed area outside of Walla Walla, Washington. My parents, who are older than me by many years, I was a boo-boo, and an aunt, cousin, we went to this area. We were camping. I was sleeping in the front of the vehicle. They were in the trailer. I was having a nice dream. I can still remember it to this day. All of a sudden, my heart started racing. Something wasn't right. I sat up. I climbed out of the front of the vehicle, and there he was. Maybe I'm terrible at guessing distances, so maybe 30 feet. And he just stared at me, and I stared at him, and he turned around and like it is nothing to make me feel fear except my own, oh my gosh, what did I just see that? It was a full moon, so it was not a bear. And that one hanging on the wall. So that was something that was crazy.
Definitely a humanoid creature running. And he wasn't running with like a wristwatch or anything, right?
Yeah.
like that old picture from the 70s, right? Where he's like running and pretty sure he's got a Timex on or something.
Right? One of those with the chain on it.
Well, that is awesome. So where can people find you, Ghosts and Girls, and Supernatural Productions? What were the best places?
Ghostparanormal.com, and we're also on Facebook, and we are also on Instagram, and you can find me, I'm under, Wendy Stanton Phillips on Instagram, and Supernatural Investigative Productions on YouTube. There's all kinds of fun things, because some of the kids have had some great experiences. I mean, before they met us, they have gotten to go and do some fun things. So it's fun to go check that out. And like I said, we're going to go and do Wolf Creek, Tavern, and Inn. Please let us know. June is very good at dealing with things from a distance. I'm still learning, but we will do our very best for people. And no, we do not charge, because we don't charge for this. In our opinion, we're doing God's work. He gave us the ability. He can take it away. We're not going to charge somebody they need our help.
Hey, you. Yes, you. As communities throughout the Southeast are hunkered down, it's time to complete your 2020 census. Billions of dollars will go to help communities around the country so we can rebuild from the hurricanes and recover from this pandemic one person at a time. If we get counted, we'll get our fair share of relief after natural disasters, quality health care, and a sense of hope as we look to the future. So get counted before the September 30th deadline. Visit my2020census.gov today, paid for by Fair Count. Hey, you. Yes, you. As communities throughout the Southeast are hunkered down, it's time to complete your 2020 census. Billions of dollars will go to help communities around the country so we can rebuild from the hurricanes and recover from this pandemic one person at a time. If we get counted, we'll get our fair share of relief after natural disasters, quality health care, and a sense of hope as we look to the future. So get counted before the September 30th deadline. Visit my2020census.gov today, paid for by Fair Count.